difference. I'm turning this morning to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 40. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And these are the words of the Apostle Peter, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And friends, this is a kind warning which the Apostle gives to those who were listening to him. There was a large number of persons that had gathered on the day of Pentecost to listen to this Apostle. You know that if you are a person who read your Bible, you know that at this time the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to heaven, and as he promised, his Spirit has come upon his disciples, now apostles. The Spirit came so that the work of preaching the Lord Jesus Christ to people can be done, because without it, it cannot be done. It is a spiritual work. People coming to know the Lord and coming to walk with him is not just a matter of church attendance or changing a little naughty behavior here and there. It is rather a thoroughly spiritual work. And so the apostles themselves could not do it without the Lord's Spirit coming upon them. And so that was why the Holy Spirit was sent upon them. And we say that this happened on the day of Pentecost. And it happened in such a wonderful way, so that it drew a large crowd of people to where these apostles were. And so, whilst these people were gathered, the apostle, Peter, stood up and began to speak. They had accused them of drunkenness, but the apostle had shown that that was not the case. But rather, this is a promise fulfilled by God, that he will pour out his Spirit upon those who belong to him. And so the apostle speaks to this large crowd of persons who have gathered here. And the apostle spoke to them about the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came, and the fact that he needed to die and to purchase forgiveness of sins, and to bring men and women near to God, to know him and to love him and prove his power and blessing over their lives. Now, after he had been saying this, we are told that he needed to give them this kind warning, which is so helpful to just reflect a little over our time this morning. And so look at it there in verse 40. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Oh, just look at those beginning words. And with many other words, he is like a mother. Apostle Peter was speaking to the crowd, and he's like a mother who knows the dangers that her daughters or her children may get into. Think of a mother, his children are going to the secondary school, and he knows the dangers there, and he knows the things that will lure them and turn their character around just within a few terms at the secondary school. And the mother sits down the children and he speaks to them, and he almost never ends. The mother goes on and on and on, and she will really pour out her heart and speak the whole time, trying to warn the children of the dangers that face them at the secondary school. Now Peter is like that with such many words. He will not just say one or two things. His heart was yearning for their good. He was thinking of those before him, and he was thinking of that which would profit them, and he would want them to come to know the Lord and to turn to him, and to do that quickly before they fall into wrong hands. And so he brings this warning. And so our verse there again, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, there was here, he testified, it means that he protested. To protest is to say something very strongly. In fact, you want to say to that extent that you want the person to realize that if he doesn't listen to you, he will have himself to blame. And so he protested, he testified, he spoke so strongly and urgently. Why did he have to speak like this, my dear friends? Dear friends, I'm dwelling on these words because, you know, it is very possible that if you are not converted, you think the whole matter of becoming a Christian is a small thing. You think it's a matter of a nice choice and a nice decision. I think there are three religions in Ghana. and I am choosing to become a Christian because I don't really like Islam, I don't like the traditional religion. Oh friends, it is more than that. It is not a matter of merely choosing the best out of the lot. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of eternity. It is a matter of how God will view you, the only judge who will judge you. It is a matter of how you stand in all eternity. These are no small matters. And so Peter will go his way to speak so urgently. And I wish I'll be able to imitate him. But I'm afraid I may not be able to reach his earnestness ever. Because he was a far better speaker in those days and always. But friends, we want to try to convey something of the seriousness to you. But you begin to appreciate the seriousness as you look at the term you used. So I want to dwell a little on those words. Look at the last two words. And with many other words, he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that's quite a strong word. Untoward generation. That means a generation that is crooked. It is warped. It is not straight. It is a generation that is, you would say that it is like a road that never goes straight, winded. And so, this is how Peter describes them. But what is striking, that the people, the times Peter was living in, was a time of much religiosity. Many people were saying, I go to church, I go to the synagogue, I go to the temple. Many people would say, I worship God. And this was quite striking, that Peter would describe that generation, in spite of their church attendance and their attendance to places of worship, that it is an untoward generation. It is a crooked and a twisted generation, a warped generation, a generation that is not straight. Now this is striking to us, my dear friends, because we live in times, I'm sure you know, that many persons go to church in our own nation here, isn't it? How many persons stay at home? Well, even if they stay at home at all, they will say they are associated to some church, one or the other. And so everybody, well, if he isn't an out and out a traditionalist or a Muslim, then you know that he attends some church, one kind or the other. And yet, friends, we can see the same thing, that our generation is untoward. It's crooked. It's warped. It's a really distorted generation. Let me let you see the implications of this, what Peter meant. When we say that somebody or a group of persons are crooked or untoward, we mean that first they are dishonest. This is a dishonest generation. If you are speaking to somebody and you say that this person is a crooked person, what do you mean? You mean that this person isn't honest. He's a person that really never tell you truth. He's always telling you lies. He never is interested in being so plain and genuine, dealing so fairly with you. He's a person who is always seeking some advantage, and he's a crafty person. He's always trying to beat you, as it were, and to take advantage. This is the kind of person we want to describe as crooked. And Peter says the times in which he lived in was not like that. They were crooked persons. People were not honest. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself told some of those persons who were the chief leaders at those times, he told them that they were dishonest. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ said that they would go to people's house and pretend to be interested in them, widow's house, widow, and try to seem as if they want to show them some kindness, but actually they want to get from them. They want to get and steal from them. Unfortunately, I'm ashamed to say, more like what perhaps some pastors do today. We appear to want to do some good to people. We seem to really want to tell people about God and heaven and about eternity. But actually, we want to actually strip from people and to get away from them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you are dishonest persons. You're not genuine. In fact, the Lord Jesus even told those persons that when you are even
even praying, you deliberately go to places where you'll be noticed. So people will say, hey, look at how they are praying wonderfully, and look at how wonderful their prayers are like. But actually, you are doing all that as a kind of a cover-up, because your real natures are hid. Your motives are not right. What you really want is something selfish and something for yourselves. All this religion is a kind of a cover-up for you. And so a dishonest generation is like that. Friends, don't you see it here? Is it not here? Our generation is like that. Why is Peter warning them? Because, friends, unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ to keep you safe, it will shape you. You will become a dishonest person too. The truth is, what happens in any generation wouldn't be the fault of one or two persons. It would be the fault of every person in that generation. So that all of us have contributed to that condition. And so Peter's concerned. You won't come to the Lord. You won't flee to Him. Why, you will become a very dishonest person. A few weeks ago, a certain young man, we knew him very much in our church in Cape Coast. This young man really began coming to Sunday school when he was young, probably just around 10 or so. And he came through, and he became one of our nicest young persons. His mother was bearing very beautiful testimony about it. We knew he had not actually come to the Lord. But you know something? The Bible is such a powerful book that if you go to a place where it is constantly taught, at least it will let you stop a few naughty things. So you become a nice person at least. But that doesn't mean you become converted. It doesn't mean you become a Christian. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, this young man, I was speaking to him, and in fact, his mother was all for him. Incidentally, they were twins. And so the mother easily would compare them. And would often say, look at him. Well, if I wouldn't take too much of a time. In fact, this boy even had become so different, even in appearance. He was always wearing a smiling, nice. His twin brother was almost always frowning. He wouldn't look into your face. He would always bow his head and look at you from the top of his eye, something like that. So really, everything was queer. Everything was strange about this young boy. And so his mother could see the difference. Oh, friends. And we knew he was not converted. We knew that that's the effect of Sunday school. It should at least take off a number of bad things in you. It doesn't mean the Savior has come to take possession of the heart. It doesn't mean your heart has been changed. And so we constantly was warning this young man. Well, he grew up, and I think he was in his 20s or so. And then he left us. He wasn't coming to church anymore. But you know, it didn't happen at once. He would come one, just go off one, gradually, and then he simply cut himself off. So a few weeks ago, he came to the services, and he was speaking to me, and he was full of tears. He was saying, "Oh, Pastor, the kind of things I had been doing since I stopped coming, if anybody had told me I would do that, I would never have believed that I would do that." And he kept using the word, "A man should never believe himself. A man should never believe himself." He's learnt the lesson. My dear friends, you'll be shaped. If you've not come to the Lord, and you're already into your 20s, I dare challenge you. You've already begun to be dishonest. You've begun to become somebody who takes interest in lies. If you can tell a lie for some advantage, you will do it. If you can tell a lie to gain something, you will do it. And that's you becoming untoward. You become crooked. You become distorted. You become a strange person. You will lose the beauty you should possess. And that's the danger, you see. You see why Peter is concerned. Oh, don't think I'm wanting you to become a Christian so that I will say my religion has the largest following in Jerusalem. Don't think this is what I want. I'm concerned about you. If you don't listen to me and repent and come to the Savior, the thing that is happening around you, you yourself will be shaped also, because you also have a sinful heart, and you will contribute to the corruption around, and you yourself become corrupt also. You'll become worse and worse and worse. And so an untoward generation is a dishonest generation. And they bring in another thing. An untoward generation is also an inconsistent generation. inconsistent in the sense that it never keeps its word. It says one thing and does another. Don't you see it around? Oh, what times we're living in. Can't you see the advertisement that promise you all manner of things? Sometimes you are really amazed that I was going to think of one of the advertisements. Some of the advertisements, you are very surprised that you say that a good does means a good life, they say. So they can even say, they advertise it, something like, even about the gas bottles. They will say, oh, a good gas means a good life. Interesting. Well, we need it to cook, but you don't know how it makes life good in that sense. But, you know, this advertisement, they must say anything to let you buy it. The interesting thing, the man wants his profit. And nowadays, gone were the days when, you know, those of you who have been told and know that there was a time when we didn't have all these salesmen and sales executives all around. Now they're all over the place. They go to the universities and the technical universities and do marketing. I'm sorry, please, friends who do marketing, I'm not really disparaging you. Your course has a place in our society, but you know what you do. What you do is you are trained to really so portray things and let people buy it even before they think. You know, I remember some time ago, we were living in a certain place, and a man came round to our house and he said that, do you have a problem with your gas cooker? And we did. Our gas cooker, the knob wouldn't turn, things like this. And the man came, and up to now I'm so fascinated how he persuaded us. He told us, you know, you will need a spring to be fitted at this. He showed it to us, and we thought, okay, this may seem to help. He said, how much will it cost? It was over the top. Huge sums he quoted, at least for a repair like that. He said, it will cost so much. He mentioned it. And I said, wow. How can this thing cost this much? He said, you know, this is what's the problem with your gas cooker. If you don't have it there, this is what will happen. So he persuaded us. So we made him, well, we managed to squeeze the money and let him fix it. What was funny was that just after about a month, we saw the thing he put was actually useless. It did nothing, absolutely nothing. You actually have to throw it away and then go ahead with the old way we used to use our gas. I'm always amazed how people can so learn how to talk and persuade persons and get them to do things for them, just for themselves. This is exactly when people become untoward and distorted. People, my dear friends, with all due respect, please, I want to respect each one of us in the name of the Lord. Do you know something? Don't you know that even in these days, we have young persons who think what is most important is to attract people to their bodies. If I can appear attractive and let people admire my body, this is the most important thing. Oh, sir. Oh, young woman, young lady, what about your character? He said, oh, don't worry. There's this inconsistency. You're hiding something. And this is this generation, isn't it? No one wants to care about what's the real value of things. This is quite sad. And so it is. So Peter's warning, oh, dear friends, listen to me. You will become so crooked. You will demand your real worth. You will demand your real character. All you would think is important is how I appear in public. And you will not say, but who am I in secret? What are my thoughts like? What are my desires like? You only want to make outward impressions upon people. And that's all. And you don't care about disappointing people. This is inconsistency. Oh, my dear friends, this is the untoward generation. Peter's warning, you want to become like that, friends. You want to become so insubstantial. A person whose all attraction will be only outward. Nothing really beautiful within. Would you want to become like that? And Peter is saying, that's what you will become. Unless you obey this gospel and turn to the Savior. Because the generation will shape you. It will make you begin to think, this is what matters, this is what matters. And you follow it as everybody else. And yet it will be a lie. It will be a deception. It will be only a little away from the things that really matter. Inconsistency is one of the things about an untoward generation. Do I mention another one? An untoward generation is rough. They are crooked. If something is crooked, what is it? Isn't it rough? It is never sensitive. It loses kindness. One of the painful things of our times is that we are losing kindness. Oh friends, these things should make us all weep and be so sad. Why people have become so rough. Young persons are rough towards their parents. Parents are becoming rough towards their children. The sensitivity with which we want to raise up the children and be so careful about the kind of thing they're taking. No, very few persons seems to care now, because we've all grown very rough. When we grow rough, when we become very selfish. People who are rough are always inevitably selfish, because he simply wants me and my satisfaction rather than anybody else. You see, so he really doesn't care. He really doesn't feel for anybody else. I want to do this in this community. If anybody else doesn't like it, I really don't care. I want it. I like it. And so I will do it. And that is the situation you fall in. And so become so rough and so insensitive. Friends, this is so negative and sad. I want to be very quick to get away with it. Oh, friends. But an untoward generation also doesn't have a clear destination, isn't it? An untoward means it is ever winding around. It doesn't have a clear destination. If somebody took you and he said, well, let me take you to my house. And he put you in his car. And you realize that the car kept turning and twisting and turning and twisting. You're never getting anywhere. You keep going, going. And he's asking, oh, sir, where are we going? And it seemed to you that as you kept going, you've actually begun to head the opposite direction, but on another route. You begin to be anxious, isn't it? Even if he's your friend, and it's the first time you go into his house, and you don't know, you begin to be suspicious. Hey, what are you doing? Are we really going home? Or where are we going? You become concerned. Do you know, my dear friends, ask a basic question. If you shut out God, if you don't want to think about Him, let me ask you, what will society teach you about future? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What is future? Okay, when I grow old and I retire, I want to retire in comfort. That's what they would say. And then after that, what? It tells you nothing. An untoward generation points people to nowhere. It lets you keep winding and winding in life. You will never know where you are going and where you would stop. And so this is why Peter is saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. It will let you go round and round, and you will waste your years. Now, my dear friends, I want to ask you again, is that how you want your life to be like? With no purpose, with no focus, with no direction, with no aim. Where are you going? Can I ask you, where are you going? A pastor I knew often tells a story of a man who called his son, and then he asked his son and said, son, what do you want to do? He said, well, I want to go to secondary school. He said, okay, and after secondary school, what? He said, then, of course, I want to be in the university. And then do what? And I want to become, and he mentioned a profession. And then after that, what? And the son said, and then, of course, dad, I marry. And then I have children. And the father said, and after that, what? He said, well, I think I'll raise up my children as you raise me up and really send them to very good schools. And he said, and after that, what? The son said, okay, then I think by that time I will want to put up my house and then have a car. So that's good. And then what? And then the son was beginning to be bored. And then he said, well, then I'll be looking forward to a wonderful retirement. Well, I'll be retiring in a very comfortable home. And then he said, what? What next? And then the thing struck the son. And he bowed his head and he began to weep. And then said, and die. He said, you see, that's all. That's all. Think of it. That's all. After everything, we are all heading towards death. The very moment we're born, that's where we're going. And so Peter is saying, oh, you who are listening to me, listen. If you allow yourself to be shaped by this generation, you have no focus. You have no aim. Nothing to live for. Nothing to pursue. What about beyond this life? Oh, let's even speak about when life begins to be tough. Life will be tough one day. Thankfully, by the mercy of God, they come and go. But it'll be tough. Children will begin to trouble. Illnesses will begin to come in. There'll be all kinds of unexpected things coming in. Life isn't that smooth, my dear friends. Let nobody deceive you. Life isn't that smooth. And there will always be all those kind of difficulties that come along unexpectedly often. And how would you cope? How would you cope? Well, friends, when I'm speaking about things like this, I'm always tempted to rather give too many illustrations. Because, my dear, you know that how many people have been shaped badly as they were growing up. As they got into their 30s and 40s, that they were so shaped and became so different from anything they were like when they were in their teens. We knew a woman who was having so many problems. You don't often meet persons like that. And she said this, well, I didn't ask for the details. I don't want to support her or be against what he said. But that's what she said. She simply put it this way. All my calamity began when I married. Surprising, isn't it? Young persons marrying, they think everything is rosy. Everything is really love, love, love. Everything is this kind of thing. Well, some people can be so shaped terribly. And they can become so worse off. My dear friend, this is society. It influences everything. Don't you blame it on society alone? You and I have contributed to that also. Because we have lived for ourselves. And have not lived as God wants us to live. My dear friends, just listen to these words. I hope you listen to Peter carefully now. Verse 40. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort you to understand why Peter used so many words. This is a man moved with compassion. And he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves. Pluck yourselves away. Recognize your danger. And call upon God to have mercy upon you. You cannot by own power actually let yourself out of that situation. But Peter uses this language to let you see the responsibility you have to see the situation so you may cry to the Lord. Dear friends, have you not seen already signs of dishonesty as I mentioned? And you want them to grow? You are now telling lies. You are now deceiving. You are now becoming more selfish. You are becoming more disinterested about other persons and their affairs. You are thinking more about your advantage and your gain and your privileges. Are you not concerned? Are you not moved? You want these things to grow and engulf you and eat you up and spoil everything? Would you not flee? Would you not cry to the Lord? Would you not ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy? Like if I can use this example, like my young man did. Now alarmed. Pastor, I think I'm becoming a terrible person. I'm becoming worse off. If I thought this young man I had heard earlier, because the wife came to me, he had beaten even the wife. And this young man is saying, Pastor, I never did that. I never thought I could do that. Oh, friends, you will become worse. Don't think you can change yourself. The problem is, you may be blaming your circumstances. You are saying, oh, it is because this is like this, the situation is like this, this is why I'm behaving this way. It is because I'm not yet working. It's because I'm not yet married and I'm having these challenges. This is why I'm behaving this way. My dear friend, don't believe that. It's not true. It's not true. It's because that's what you are. You and I are corrupt inside. We are sinful. And we see more and more of ourselves as life precious as. You don't know you are like that, but you have always been like that, friends. In what you respect, you have always been like that. Only life has impressured you enough to bring it out for everybody to see. It is only when life pressured you that it came forth. And so, friends, you've always been like that. What you need is to be saved from that. There's help. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to help. This is why He came. This is what makes our hearts glad. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to be our representative, to take upon Himself our very nature, and to know what it is like for us to be so turned away from God. And then He went to the cross of Calvary to pay for the punishment of what we have done. Every dishonest behavior, every lie, every selfishness, every greed. He knew it, an offensive to God, and yet the Savior bore it. He made His Father put the curse upon Him. We do not only need to be punished, we are also cursed by God. That's what His Word says. You sin, and God curses you. The curse hangs already upon anybody who is disobedient to His Word, He says. The very time I break one law, the curse comes upon me. Oh, the curse doesn't mean that I'll fail my exam or things like this. These things may still be going on all right, but you'll be ever shut out from God. You will never know Him. You will never be able to relate to Him. You may learn how to talk about Him and speak about Him, but He will always hide Himself from you. You will never know Him until finally He throws you away into everlasting hell, friends. But the Savior bore that curse. He made His Father put that curse upon Him. As if He says, Father, put the curse of all these persons who will believe in You and believe in Me. Put their curse upon Me. And treat Me as if I have committed the sins. Their dishonesty, their lies, their selfishness, their temper and anger and pride. Punish Me as if I committed them all, and let them go free. And as many as will repent, be grieved, and be ashamed of how they've lived their lives, and yield their lives to Me, wash them and receive them. This is what the Savior did. Save yourselves means repent. Turn and say, Lord, I'm ashamed of how I've lived. Lord, I see my sins. They are far too much than I can ever number. And I'm ashamed. And my heart is cast down. And I'm sad. And I know I deserve death and condemnation. And then, if you are truly repentant, this is what will save you. You look to the Savior. You put all your trust in what He did. We tell people, never ever say, oh Lord, I think I'm sorry for all that I've done. I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to be a nice person from now on. Don't trust those things because they're not true. You will never be able to ever turn any good leaf. But the very time you turn one new fresh one, oh, you defile it again. And so you won't be able to do that. You will yield your life to the Savior and ask Him to have mercy and to wash you and to receive you. Go to Him. Him alone. Call upon Him. Tell Him what you've done with shame and sorrow. And ask Him. When He changes you, you will know it. When He washes you, you will know it. When He puts a new nature into you, you realize it. You don't have to assume. Because those He washes, He also puts a new nature into them. And they become new persons. Now, friends, as I begin to come to the close, I want to introduce you to a new kind of generation. If this is an untoward generation, look at a new generation. And I'm going to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you can't turn to it, don't worry. I think you can do that another time. I'm sorry. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is a new kind of generation. Before I explain the words, I want you to just see something beautifully said. Look at verse 5, because it starts it all. Verse 5 first, ye also, he's referring to those who have repented and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Lively stones. Have you heard of a lively stone before? Well, only in films, isn't it? Only in stories. Lively stone. A stone that can stand upright. A stone that can communicate with you. No, you don't have it anywhere. And that's the language God chooses to describe those who become Christians. We are stones because we were once hardened persons. Once we hardened ourselves against God and said we wouldn't mind him. We will be rebellious and disobedient. We will live according to our own tastes and plans. And now, when we saw our sinfulness and we saw what we've done and how our generation has shaped us, we ourselves making contribution to that, we turned in repentance and yielded our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he changes us, we become lively stones. Stones the Savior is building a new house with. That's what a Christian is. And then I come to that verse 9. This new generation we're talking about. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Wouldn't you want to be this kind of generation? Part of this generation? Chosen generation means the favorites of God. These are God's favorites. You say, does God have favorites? Oh yes, he does. Because in this world there are rebels. Those who rebel against him and will not repent and seek his mercy. They call themselves enemies of God. The Bible says they make themselves his enemies. But those who repent and seek his forgiveness become his favorites, because they become his own children. You see? And so this generation, this new generation, if I repent of my sins and go to the Savior and ask him to change and bless me and make me a new person, wash me, what happens? You will become a favorite of God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, or a kingdom of priests. You will become like the Old Testament priest in the sense that you'll be allowed to approach God. You'll be near him. You will know what it is to draw near to God. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't think you need any prophet to go to God for you. You wouldn't go to pay any prophet to do that work for you, because you have access to him yourself. Because God will not listen to any supposed prophet in your case. You must go personally. You must relate to him as your own God. And you become a priest. Oh friends, you discover the wonder of prayer. It's such a wonderful facility. We like to talk about in other meetings, the privilege of prayer. The wonder, the confidence that's put in your soul to know that God is my Father and I can go to him and open my heart to him and tell him my deepest secrets and my deepest troubles and woes. These are wonderful things, friends. Oh, you become a priest and you will know what it is to know answers to prayer. God hearing you. God bringing to pass such wonderful things as a result of prayer. A holy nation. You will become a person who is made truly pure within. Your nicety won't be only outward. You're only a nice person on the outside. You are courteous and you greet people and you show nice things to them. You will give gifts and things like this. These things, we do not deplore them. We do not disregard them. Oh, friends, but they are only skin deep. They are not deep at all. Anybody can learn them. Anybody well-natured whose parents have trained in this can easily put them out. Oh, but friends, what about having a pure heart? A heart that fears to sin against God. A heart whose chief interest is God and His mind. A heart that can see inward sins of pride and of lust and of love for material things and dependence upon things, these things that defile the soul. A heart that's been kept and cleansed from these things. What about that? A heart that loves the Savior, number one. And with a heart that would obey the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, more than anybody else. Oh, friend, it's only a holy heart. Only the Savior can give you that holy heart. He gives it to the members of that generation who come to Him. Let me touch on the last one, and I'm done. Look at it there. A peculiar people. It means a purchased people. People who have been purchased by God to become His own. We belong to Him. If you repent and turn your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and He saves you, you become a purchased person. God's own possession, precious to Him. He purchased us with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so He will value us and so treasure us and allow us to walk with Him and to relate to Him. Oh, my dear friends, why? I've closed with those words back again, if you've not turned over. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, we are finished. And with many other words, Peter was full of compassion and would urge his hearers. And with many other words, did he testify? He protested. He spoke so earnestly. He wanted them to feel that if they wouldn't listen to him, they have themselves to blame. And exhort to warn and to challenge them, saying, save yourselves, flee, cry to the Lord, repent, be alarmed of your state and the danger you fall into, and call upon the Lord to have mercy upon you, and trust in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who can save you out of this condition. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is a crooked world. And yet, friends, you and I, until we are converted, have crooked hearts also. And we will ever grow worse unless the Savior changes us and turns us around and puts us in the new generation. Make us members of the new generation. Come to Him. Turn to Him. Call upon Him. Repent. Take this seriously, friends. Otherwise, you'll be worse off. Oh, come very quickly and don't delay anymore. Tell Him that He should have mercy upon you. Tell Him what you've done. Tell Him your heart sins, the desires that are hidden in the heart. Pour it before Him. You and Him alone. Find a secret place and tell Him. And then be amazed. There's so much more you have done that you cannot even mention. Be amazed. But cast yourself upon His mercy, that He's willing to receive a sinner. And trust in the Savior alone. He died for sinners. What you've done doesn't baffle Him. It's not too much for Him. He's able to wash. He's able to cleanse and make you a new person. Add you to the new generation. People precious to the Lord and loved by Him. Give Him the power of prayer and communion with God. These are wonderful blessings, friends. Come to Him. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we call upon Thee this morning. O Lord, we bow our heads once again in shame that our generation is evermore becoming so crooked and so distorted. O come, gracious Father, help us to see how much each one of us have contributed to this, to a world that has become so much against Thee. Bring us to Thyself, bring us to repentance, bring us to feel shame for what we've done and the crookedness of our own hearts, and to come to Thee. We praise Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bring us to faith in Him and to yield our lives to Him and to taste what it is like to be added to that wonderful, precious generation that is so dear to Thy heart. Bless each one of us and draw us to Thyself, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.